Good morning, Real Life Christian Church. If you guys would, please just direct your attention to the front for all of our announcements.
Ladies, come carpool with Girls Time Out to Dahlonega's Old Fashioned Christmas. We will leave the church at 12 noon on Saturday, November the 30th for a fun ride into the mountains. While we're in Dahlonega, we will have opportunities for shopping, viewing Christmas lights, and walking the Festival of the Trees. Carriage rides are also available on a first-come, first-served basis and cost $20 a person. After our fun afternoon, we will gather at 5 p.m. for a family-style dinner at the Smith House. This dinner will cost $24.95. Then we're going to head for home. We plan to get back to the church around 8:30 p.m. We will need drivers for this event, so if you can volunteer to be one of our drivers, please call Teresa Meehan at 770-826-5034.
Real Life Christian Church has the opportunity to bring blessings to many families in our area. We've collected names of families from some local school guidance counselors who could use some extra help for Christmas. Please consider making a donation above and beyond your regular contributions and designating that donation for Christmas for Kids. Together, let's make Christmas truly special for these deserving families. Saturday, December 14th is going to be a big day at Real Life Christian Church. Do you have a dog who likes to show off? Well, please sign up to participate in the Wee Woof You a Merry Christmas Dog Show. You can sign up in the lobby or contact Donna Andrew. We're also going to have a cookie contest, so we are calling all bakers. We have categories of decorated iced cookies, sweet and simple, or a gingerbread house. You'll need to make approximately 6 dozen sample-sized cookies or 1 gingerbread house. We're going to give away samples from 10 to 10:30, so sign up by contacting Donna Andrew. Bring your family and see an enchanting Christmas village in the Real Life Christian Church field on Saturday, December 14th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. You can sample delicious hot chocolate, enjoy a hot dog, view the nativity scene, pet the farm animals, and cast your vote for the best Christmas cookie in the contest. Be sure not to miss the We Woof You a Merry Christmas Dog Show. The kids can jump for joy in the bounce house after making a Christmas ornament. This is free for everyone, and we wish you all a very Merry Christmas.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm going to talk to you now instead of after the first song. Just, you know, change it up a little bit. How are you guys feeling this morning?
Great.
High energy?
Yay!
Yeah! All right. So this first song is Praise. We did it a few weeks ago. But what we didn't do last time, and we're going to try today, is it's got a chant at the beginning. Okay? So the beat is about here. And you go, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can you guys do that? One, two, ready, go.
Let
everything
that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
One, two, intro, 2, 3, 4. Refrain.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Refrain.
Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Verse 1.
Praise the Lord.
Verse 2.
I'll praise when I'm numbered. Praise when surrounded. shout that brings Jericho down.
Three chords.
As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord, oh my soul. Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Verse two.
I won't be quiet, my God is alive, so you rose and defeated the grave. I'm praised cause you're faithful. I'm praised cause you're true. Praise cause there's nobody greater than you. I'm praised cause you're sovereign. I'm praised cause you reign. Praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'm praised cause you're faithful. Praise cause you're true. Praise cause there's nobody greater.
Give us the strength to shout as loud as we can and to make that joyful noise in your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
One, two, intro, two, three, four.
generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you.
Thank you. gentle. Bridge.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
Bridge.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call.
Moses was about to be finished with his 120-year-long life. He had already received the news from God that he would not be accompanying the Israelites as they crossed the Jordan River into the promised land. That's how Deuteronomy came about. Of its 34 chapters, more than 30 are the second telling of the law, which is what Deuteronomy means. Moses was preaching to the people over and over not to forget God, giving them reason upon reason upon reason upon reason to remember, remember, remember. Let's listen to Moses' message in chapter 8. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing in the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Be careful, do not forget the Lord your God. We live in the United States of America. It's a good land. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain. God has blessed our nation. God has blessed us by giving us all that we need and more. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. These are the words of the old leader Moses. We hear again loud and clear. That's why Jesus gave his disciples this memorial, a plain, simple remembrance that we take the first day of each week, because we need help in weekly, me personally, daily increments. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Do this, Jesus said to his disciples, in remembrance of me. Pray with me. God, as we move into this time of communion, we need you daily. Please let this time of communion be a remembrance of that, so that we can continue to grow with you and continue to be this time. Thank you so much for holding this up to us. You're such a precious God. Into our time of offering, there's lots of different ways that we can take just a portion of what God has given us, especially in this time of Thanksgiving, and give back. So you can see on the screen there's a bunch that have been added, Venmo and Zelle, a bunch of different ways. So lots of different ways. There's also donation boxes, or you can mail in a check, or you can even text. So lots of different ways to give back. Let's pray for the offering. God, thank you so much for everything that you've given us. Thank you for the very breath that you put in our lungs this morning. May we take just a portion of what you have so graciously given us and provided for us and give back. God, thank you for all the blessings, the ones that we see, the ones that we don't see. Please take these and multiply them 10,000 times over. In your son's precious name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. And no, I'm not starting that series this week. That starts next week. We got to finish our gratitude series this week. But before we do that, I got a few other things I want to talk about. First of all, it's RLCC Christmas. We are a little over halfway there on what money we need to bless these 70 plus kids with Christmas. So there's where we're at financially for that. I'm not going to beat you up for money, but I am going to tell you again, you can give in these ways. You can give these ways, and when you do, you need to market RLCC Christmas when you give it to that. Otherwise, it'll just slip into the general fund, and we'll spend it with everything else. But if you want it to go to the kids, you market for that. Now, let's get into the sermon. No, before I do that, starting Tuesday at 6:30, we're going to have a virtual Advent series study at 6:30. You're getting an email. You've probably already got it. You just don't know it yet. And it's through Right Now Media. We're going to do it. It's called a watch party. We'll watch it together, and then we're going to talk about it. It's kind of like Zoom through Right Now Media. But if you're not a part of Right Now Media, it's free to you. The church provides you with that subscription. So these are outside, and you can pick one up, scan the QR code, and then sign up. Otherwise, you can't join us. So look at that link on Facebook, in your email, and it will send you to the study that we're going to do. Now, I can move into the sermon, right? Are you glad you're here, grateful? Amen. Right, and today we're going to talk about the fullness of life. And when I was thinking about the fullness of life, I came across this story about this mountaineer, this hillbilly is what I like to call him. He lived a full life, but not exactly a saintly life. He was very successful in life, but he didn't live out a Christian life. He professed to be a Christian, but he didn't live the Christian life. And he was on his deathbed. And he summoned his weeping wife, Sarah, and he said, "Go to the fireplace and take out the third stone from the top." So she did. She said, "Reach in there," is what he said, "and bring out what you find." And she found this large mason jar full of cash. And the old man said, "Sarah, when I go, I'm going to take that money with me. I want you to put that jar up in the attic, and I'll get it as I go by on my way to heaven." So she followed his instructions. And that night, the old hillbilly, he died. And after the funeral, his wife remembered that the mason jar was up in the attic, so she went up, and guess what? It was still there. And she just said, oh, I knew he'd be going the other way. I should have put it in the basement. Gratitude. It is an essential ingredient to try to live a full life, to the abundant life that Christ promises us. And you can't have it without thankfulness and gratitude. And there's a story in the Bible that ends with one shocking one-liner, and it's the one of the 10 lepers. And I'm just going to read the story to you out of Luke 17. I'm not going to put it up on the screen right now, but it ends with one of the best one-liners that I find in all of Jesus' teaching. And here's the way it goes in Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. And you can get your phone out or your Bible if you want to. But it says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. He was going into a village, and 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Well, in a few other versions, we see that one-liner, and that's what I want to go in on. It says, and he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. And then another version says, stand up and go on your way. You were healed because you believed. And then that one, the last one, the New Living, says, stand up and go, your faith has healed you. And on reading this, when I was thinking about this, I began to wonder, weren't they not healed before this? Weren't they already healed? What about the others? Weren't they healed as well? Before this was even said. Or we may ask questions of this nature. Was the healing not permanent? Or did Jesus only offer temporary physical healing? Is Jesus speaking of physical healing or maybe something more? Or we may wonder, is Jesus implying that healing is not a one-step process? All questions you could ask as you look at this passage. But in order to understand this passage, we have to jump back a few verses into verse 15. And then we get down there and it says that he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Eucharisteo. Now, you remember a couple weeks ago we had a lesson on this word. And Jesus is shocked when only one out of the 10 return to offer Eucharisto. The only one came back to give thanks for God's grace. Only one came back to give thanks for God's grace. That's that word. He was shocked at only one. He actually wonders aloud, why did the others not do the same? Did you hear him? He said, what, only one of you came back to say thank you? The answer is found once again in our special word. There was only one leper who fully received God's grace and offered it back with thanksgiving and praise and accepted the free gift of grace and freely offered back the same. The Bible is filled with the word. Grace, 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 and more grace, isn't it? One leper returned to his Savior to express gratitude. The other 9 offered nothing to their Savior. In return, the other nine missed out on the true healing, though, didn't they? They missed out on the true healing, and that true healing being salvation. They may have got what they wanted here on earth, but they missed out on a relationship with their Savior. You see, thanksgiving is an extension of our belief in Jesus. Thanksgiving is an extension of our belief. And we see here in this passage, it's a replica of a lot of other stories and teachings in the Bible. The theology of God's grace. It's accepted through the practice of returning God's grace. And we do that through more than just belief. We see that the lepers fully believe they are healed. We see their healing. They feel their healing. They believe they are healed, and they go and show it to the priest. They're on their way, aren't they? But instead of showing their belief to Jesus, for Jesus, in Jesus, they show it to others without so much as a thank you. One leper gets it. He turns back, falls on his knees, and confesses his belief in Jesus through thanksgiving and praise, and shows Jesus that he has received God's grace. Do you see what I'm saying? One person out of the 10 said, you know what? God's been good to me, and I'm going to tell him thank you. A bunch of us got up this morning grumbling because we just had to get up. We even got here and got out of the car grumbling as we got out of the car. And then we went and got coffee, and it wasn't the one we wanted, and we grumbled about that. You know what? God's been good to every one of us, hasn't he? And doesn't he deserve better than that? Doesn't he deserve our thankfulness? You know, this one leper, this one, not only believed that he was healed and received the healing, but by his actions, we read that he believes in whom he has been healed. His thanksgiving for his healing was a confession and an affirmation of his belief in Jesus. And I dare say that the way we live our lives, whether if it's grumbling or thankfulness, is a testament to whether we believe or not. But I want to talk about some theological terms here, and it's atheism of the heart. Atheism of the heart. What we have here in this passage is a replica of all these other stories, and all this passage does not directly state that the others were not made well through their faith. It's implied that they were. The nine lepers responded with their lips, and the one leper responded with his heart. See, there's a difference. You can say you believe in Jesus and that you're thankful for Jesus and his salvation. You can say it, but your heart may say something else. It's like an apology, isn't it? Like, you know, when your kid does something bad and you say you're sorry. Sorry. Right? And then there's a heartfelt apology. And you know the difference, don't you? Well, his actions showed that. And we tend to shy away from this word atheism, don't we? We shy away from it. And today's church, it's an old school world that fails to resonate because the word is heavy with irony. By the definition of atheism is to not believe in God. And why would we talk about not believing in God in church? However, to not believe in something by its nature implies you actually do believe in something. You believe in not believing. It's an old school theological riddle. And atheism of the heart is to know of God and choose not to glorify him as God. It's to know that he's there, but I'm not going to glorify him. It's to accept his grace and his healing and his provision and his goodness in his life, but never acknowledge that they come from him. an atheistic heart, there is no obligation to show response for what God has freely given. There may be a belief in a God who freely gives. There may be an acceptance of the gifts, but there's no expressive response for receiving the gift. The boils that have overcome and crippled these bodies of lepers may have been removed as a free gift, but they choose not to acknowledge in their heart where the healing came from. They never responded. How many of us are like that? How many of us? But that leads us into the atheism of life. A few passages expound on the atheistic heart, like a passage in Romans chapter 1. Written by Paul to the early Roman church. It says this in Romans 1, 20 through 23. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Did you catch that? We read here that there's no excuse for not recognizing the work and wonders of God in the world in our life. There's no excuse. To do so is to choose an atheistic heart and live an atheistic life. To receive God's mercies and refuse to tell him thanks, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. That's huge, isn't it? How did their atheistic lives mimic their atheistic hearts? They didn't honor him or give thanks. They choose not to receive and respond to God's grace. Therefore, they exchange God's grace for a backwards life full of sin and pain. It's terrible. I mean, let's just go on while we're at it. Might as well, right? Because it says, therefore. When it says, therefore, you say, uh-oh. God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. The men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. God's not going to stop you, is he? He's going to let you go down that path. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and maliciousness. Now look here. They are gossips. Would any of you fall into that? Slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Boy, we should be down there with the teenagers. Foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree, so they know better that those who practice such things, what? Deserve to die. They not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Boy, that's a hard part there at the end, isn't it? To give approval to those who practice sin is sin itself. Now, that doesn't mean you got to be mean to people. You don't attack somebody because they're sinning. But you can say, I still love you, but I disapprove, and so does God. I've said that to family members. And you should be able to do that too. Now, because an atheistic life trades the attitude of gratitude for the me, mine, and myself mindset. You know that one, right? I want it, I want it, I want it, therefore I'm going to get it. Living a life without gratitude is to choose not to practice our faith and instead become a petri dish for sin. And now, there are a lot of sins to choose from. Spite is a sin. You ain't never been spiteful, have you? Yes. Pride, you're not proud, are you? Do you have opportunities for participate in evil, and you do? Envy. Oh, no. What about hate? Deceit. Whispering or grumbling. Nobody would ever grumble, would they? Backbiting. Abhorrence of God's ways and people. Slander. Not loving your neighbor. I wasn't too loving of my neighbor at 11:30 last night when he was revving up his Mustang. You know. So how do we know when we're living a life of true gratitude of God's grace? How do we know? Isn't that what we really want to know? I mean, y'all didn't get up here and come to church and take a shower and do all those things so that you could come here and sit to me and not want to know something, right? Well, we know we're living a life of gratitude when the fruits of the Spirit freely flow from us, when it's easy for us to live out Galatians 5. You know, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control. I'd say that one twice. Against such thing there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Those should be freely flowing. Don't you like those qualities? Don't you want to be those qualities? Those are the people you want to hang around that possess those qualities, right? Well, and we're going to focus in on this one, though. It says, those who belong to Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. A believing heart has crucified the passions of the flesh and lives out the mercies of God. Where does crucifying the passions and desires of the flesh begin? I mean, we could be like the monks and hit ourselves with whips every time we had a temptation. It didn't work. They were all scarred up. It never stopped. You know, you'd think after hitting yourself enough, you'd quit. Most of the time, they just gave up and left the monastery. Well, it starts with a response of gratitude to God for His mercy. Aren't you glad God is merciful? I'm so glad I don't get what I deserve. Leslie's not in here right now. She'd say, yes, you don't. You know. And we need to do this from a place of gratitude. We find strength to choose God above ourselves when we're thankful to Him. A distaste for the things not of God and a desire for His gifts in our life, for those fruits of the Spirit. Think about that. Assess your life for just a moment. Have you, in any of the sins mentioned that we talked about today, taken root in your life? Do you find them in your life? Do you regularly receive God's grace and just say yes? We regularly receive God's grace, don't you? And in return, do you practice gratitude? That's the hard part. Does your life resemble an atheistic or believing heart? Which one? If you're feeling the Holy Spirit tug on your conscience, consider what your life may look like if you just added gratitude. Imagine if instead of spite and frustration, your life was filled with patience and joy. How many of you like to be frustrated? If you raise your hand, we're going to take you to counseling. Nobody wants to be frustrated. But so often we choose frustration because we can't say thank you to God. Most of the time we're frustrated over things we got no control over anyway. Imagine instead of anger over that broken relationship, you replace that pain with kindness. If you begin practicing gratitude, what sin would you trade? Which fruit of the Spirit would you see as a result? Would your life be different? Imagine your life, your relationships, your home, your mental health, if you just chose gratitude. Gracious gratitude is not limited by life circumstances. Life's still going to be hard. In all stages of life, it's possible to choose gratitude. First, you need to offer opportunity to fully receive God's grace. And that way you can live life fully. Second, give ways in which your body can practice gratitude together and individually. Shouldn't we do that? You know, if you missed out on Thanksgiving at Red Top, then you truly missed out in a big way. You really missed out. It was truly a time of thankfulness. I saw people embracing the opportunity to sit together and share their lives together. As one person told me, it was like a great big group hug. For you huggers out there. You know, as parents, there's nothing we want more than to see our family come together and love on each other. Isn't it? Isn't that what you want? You want your children to come back home for Thanksgiving or Christmas and just get along and love one another. You don't think your Heavenly Father wants to see that too? He wants to see His children gathered together and loving each other despite their differences. You know, as individuals, we should take time to show love towards our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We should show thanks to God in simple ways, like actually placing our worship time as a priority in our life. That means becoming more involved than sitting in a seat. It means giving cheerfully to the work of the church. And when I say give, I don't just mean money. I mean in all areas of your life. When we as a church place opportunities for you to volunteer, step up. And when we have times of fellowship, show up. And when you have an opportunity to speak the love of Christ into somebody's life, for goodness sake, speak up. It all requires an action. Just like the leper who returned to give thanks, it requires action for you to live out a life of gratitude. You know, all too often, we settle for a life of ingratitude that leaves you feeling less than fulfilled spiritually. That's what we do. We sit on the sidelines and we watch life happen and we complain and grumble about how little we are feeling God's love and grace in our life. And when God calls us to get in the game, we say things like, I don't have time, or I don't feel called to do that, or get somebody else to do it, or the last time I got involved, it didn't work out for me. So I'm just going to sit down in the darkness of my own self-induced pity party and complain. How well is that working out for you? It must be time for me to quit. But reality, when you're sitting around and you're miserable and you're complaining and you're making excuses, is that really improving your attitude, your happiness, your joy? God does not want that for you. Real Life Christian Church, we don't want that for you. We want more than that for you. If you want the life that Jesus promises when He says this, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And it all begins with thankfulness and gratitude. I will promise you that you have much more to be thankful for than you don't. You all got up today in a home, took a shower, I hope, put on deodorant, got in a vehicle, and came here. And when we leave here, nobody will leave here and be hungry. You might be hungry right now, but you're not really hungry. And you'll sit down and you'll have lunch. But are you truly thankful for that? Or do you take it for granted? It's so easy to take the things of life for granted. I think we should take the time and look and see how grateful we are. Life is so, so short. And don't you think it's worth giving God the thanks that He deserves? Have you ever thanked God for the life that you have? Have you ever looked up and counted your blessings and said, you know what, God, you've given me more than I deserve? Because you know what you deserve? What did the scripture say? Death. The scripture says you deserve death. Do you know what happened? He took your death. He took what you deserved. And He took it in a horrible, horrible way. Who are we not to live a life of gratitude if Jesus was willing to go to the cross and die for us? Maybe you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior. I'm telling you, you'll never be thankful till you feel the forgiveness. You can never thank God like you should until you've accepted Him as your Savior, confessed Him as Lord of your life, and been baptized into Christ and received the Holy Spirit. Then you can begin to truly appreciate the grace of God. But it has to start there. It has to start with recognizing the true healer in your life. Recognizing that there is only one who has the power to save you from your sins. There's only one who can give you the strength to find joy in this terrible world we live in. Only one, and His name is Jesus. Will you choose Him today? And maybe you've chosen Him before, but you find yourself stuck in the grumble, just constantly complaining and not happy, and you get tired of that. The great thing about Jesus is He didn't die for you just one time. He died so that you could continually come back to Him and receive that grace. And maybe that's you. You need to confess Him again. You need to say, Lord, forgive me because I walked off the path and I got stuck in my self-pity. But wherever you are, the great thing is Jesus is standing here. And He says, come, just like you are, and let me make you whole. Will you choose Him today as we stand and sing?
One. Two, one, two, three, four.
Verse.
So this is Jonathan.
Yes.
So Jonathan contacted me, and he wants to be baptized into Christ today.
Yes.
Jonathan and I have known each other for several years now. And we're just thrilled with this decision. So Jonathan, repeat after me.
Yes, sir.
I believe. Jesus is the Christ.
Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the living God.
Son of the living God.
Amen. 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 All right. So, y'all be seated.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Let's keep singing.
All right.
One. Three, four. Verse one.
Two. I was breathing the night.
guys. Thanks for singing with me. It is a great day every time we get to come into church and somebody decides to join the church and give their life over to Christ. It's a great day.
Mm-hmm.
Are they coming yet?
No.
Okay. Well, we can keep singing. Do I hear them? I hear them. We're good?
Here he comes.
All right. I'm going to hand it over.
It's a beautiful day, isn't it?
It is. Amen.
All right. If you will bow your heads with me, I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then you guys will be dismissed. Dear God, thank you for this glorious day that we get to come in here every week, but this week especially, because this week is when another one of your flock gets to come back to you and join your church and be one of your people. Thank you so much that we got to learn the message today, and just watch over everybody as they go out this week. A lot of people are traveling, but also just watch over us every week, as you do, because you are our God, and you love us so much. So we love you too. In your name, amen.